presentation by the City of Milwaukee Department of City Development on the planning and investment to support Mitchell Park and surrounding neighborhood. You may recall that we decided to become better informed as a task force about the neighborhood and its needs in the extent of plans already underway for the neighborhood, so that we can better work together with the neighborhood in which the Domes is located as we move forward in determining the future of the Domes. So we have asked the city, the planning people, to brief us on the current plans that impact the neighborhood around the Domes as part of our background. We have not engaged in any discussion with the city about particulars of what the, how the Domes might, that what our future might be. This is more as background for us, so we know what's out there in terms of planning efforts.
Thank you, Chairman. And I will say, you did a perfect introduction, because I did, before I got into the kind of meat of the presentation, want to make sure to kind of set the stage and give the context for why exactly I think we're here and how what we hope to provide to the committee. There has been a fair amount of discussion, I understand, about, you know, regardless of the difficult choice that comes out of this process, and just, I will say, on a personal level, too, having, you know, read the materials in today's file to prepare for this meeting and also sitting through the last item, it gives me even greater respect for the complexity of the issues that you're grappling with. So we thank you. I mean, this is an incredibly important issue for all of us, and just the seriousness and diligence to which it's being approached is incredible. And recognizing that what's likely to come out of the process, regardless of what the outcome is going to be very likely a major, major investment here in Mitchell Park. My understanding is that there's been some discussion at this committee of saying that if there's going to be this major, potentially generational investment in Mitchell Park, we want to make sure that that investment is both supporting and being supported by investments that are happening in the surrounding neighborhoods because of how closely those things are linked. So there was some discussion that both among some of the leaders on your committee, including Supervisor Haas, State Representative Zepnik, and other community-based organizations in the area, who approached us in the city and said, we want to make sure that the work that's already underway in city planning and development is linked to this. And there was even some discussion among some people who are started some of those discussions about saying, you know, do you think we need to do a kind of a plan for what's happening around Mitchell Park? And I think our answer to that, and one of the things we hope to communicate today, is this idea that the area directly around Mitchell Park is one of the most planned for areas of the city. We have a lot of great work that's happened, and that both the city and our partners are actively implementing and stand ready to continue to work with the members of this committee, the people who are active on the work that's coming out of this committee to really, you know, keep working to implement some of the great work that's already been done. And I think I can, you know, very briefly go through some of that, talk about the planning processes. It looks like I already have a question, which I'm happy to answer. I apologize. Thank you. Thank you very much, Supervisor. If I didn't introduce myself, I'm Sam Likling, the long-range planning manager with the Department of City Development. So with that being said, we can talk about the work that we've done in planning, both in Department of City Development, city planning, but also, as you'll see, one of the really unique things about the neighborhoods surrounding Mitchell Park is that a lot of that planning has been led by community-based organizations, including some people who are in this room. So again, I'll kind of set the stage. Obviously, you know where we are in Mitchell Park, but I wanted to show this aerial just to get across, again, this concept that in the city of Milwaukee, we divide the city up for planning purposes into 13 different area planning areas. Those plans were adopted over a 10-year period. And this larger boundary you see here is the near south side plan. And again, we have 13 of those. They set, you know, very high-level goals and identify catalytic projects and offer some very valuable recommendations. But what I want to make sure to get out of this, communicate during this presentation, is what the area plan did is very high-level and it's very valuable and it's still something we use every day. But it set the stage for a lot of grassroots, neighborhood-led plan that's happened since that makes this kind of spine along National Avenue basically, again, the most planful corridor, I think it's safe to say, in the city of Milwaukee. And a lot of that is because of work that's happened after the area plan was adopted. And other parts of the city are not as lucky to have that level of planning that's gone into things since and implementation, to be honest. So I want to just talk about that and set the stage Just again, going back, I'll kind of work from west to east to talk about what's happened, what's underway, how the city is partnered, and how I think it relates to the work that's going on right now. West of Layton Boulevard and west of 27th Street, you have Layton Boulevard West Neighbors. Obviously, many of you here are familiar with the work they do. Through a partnership with the Zilber Neighborhood Initiative that was launched, that Layton Boulevard West engaged in a quality of life plan to support the work that came out of the Near Southside Plan. That planning effort identified a number of catalytic projects, including what can be done to invest in the Silver City Main Street District, which is the business district along National Avenue. Other community and quality of life planning efforts, including how to better engage seniors in the area, how to improve the number of gardens, improve housing investment. All those things are kind of distilled down into these really beautiful maps that came out of all the Zilber neighborhood planning efforts that identified 10 catalytic projects. So those are projects that have already been identified. A lot of them are either implemented or underway, and we at the city continue to be a key partner with Layton Boulevard West Neighbors, who's at on the ground implementing initiatives every day. Some of that you can see on this this slide, some of the things that have already happened. The city has worked to improve Arlington Heights Park with LBWN through a number of things, including the band shell, the Water Place Playground, the housing development just to the west there. We continue to partner with the team at Layton Boulevard West on strategies to bring retail and other economic investment back to the Silver City Main Street District. Those are things we're doing every day. Those are the things that have already been identified as key to this stretch, which is really a gateway to getting to this stretch along National Avenue, which is Park. So those are kind of things we continue to work on, and we'll, we're always happy to hear about things we're doing right and things we're doing wrong, but this is the framework we're using when we work with LBWN to implement programs in this area, and we think that by their, they have a large staff, they're in the neighborhood every day, and they're the ones we take a lead from. And again, I think the thing I want to make sure we're getting across the committee is there is a plan in place, and there's a really talented team both in the neighborhood, and we hope that the city backing them up to implement it. Moving farther east to the other side of the boulevard, the other side of Mitchell Park, this one I'm even almost embarrassed to be the one presenting, because you have, on your committee, Dr. Bria, from Journey House, was actually at the forefront of developing the quality of life plan in Clark Square. Journey House was the lead partner when they became the Zilber neighborhood, and worked again to develop a similar plan with support from the city, but truly led by the neighbors to identify what are the core things that over the next X many years need to happen for us to move forward the vision of the community. Some of the things that, and this one, because Mitchell Park is in the planning area, some of the plan recommendations here did actually touch on the physical footprint of Mitchell Park. That includes things like the Journey House Packers Stadium that have already been implemented. It also includes a number of things that Journey House, Clark Square Neighborhood Initiative, and the other key partners here have continued to work on. One of those things is how to make Cesar Chavez even more vibrant. On weekends, it's already one of the most vibrant commercial quarters we have in the city. It has tremendous assets, but how do you make it even the corridor that when people talk around the country and say, what city it really has it right when you talk about a Latino-focused, Latino-centric business district? We want our Cesar Chavez Drive to be the one that they talk about. And we think that there's a lot of work that the Business Improvement District, Journey House, Clark Square Neighborhood Initiative are doing, and again, with something that we're working, we're trying to be clicking on all cylinders and supporting through everything we do at the city. Same thing with the Journey House Housing Initiative. That was another key thing that was identified in the plan. They said that there was a number of needs identified on the housing front, especially around seniors and large families. So the city has worked with Journey House, who's one of, Journey House is a partner that makes these types of projects easy because they do most of the work, and we get to talk about, we get to show the pictures at the end, but the city's worked with Journey House and a number of other partners, including the county, to rehabilitate a number of formerly foreclosed city-owned properties. The two that are already completed were used to house youth of age out of foster care, and there's another project, which again, I'm not the right one to talk about because you have the lead partner in implementing that here. But these are the idea of there is a plan in place, there's the right people on the ground executing it, and we just, we'll continue to tweak it as we go, but these are the kind of priorities, and we are continually hearing from the community, maybe we should be prioritizing this year instead of this, and that's the kind of feedback we'd love to get from the committee. But we do think that between what Journey House has put together and Clark Square Neighborhood initiative continues to implement, there is a really good set of strategies in place that reflects what the community wants to see on this part of this border of Mitchell Park. And as we get farther from Mitchell Park, I'll try to be even more brief because I know this is we're getting more and more farther afield from the park. But I want to communicate again that just as there's been quality of life planning in Clayton Boulevard West and Park Square, farther east of Chavez Drive, we went through a similar process in the Walker Square neighborhood in the last 2 years to do a neighborhood quality of life plan. It also reemphasized the importance of Chavez Drive. It also reemphasized the importance of public space, and the county was a key partner there in talking about the importance of parks, Walker Square to that neighborhood and what kind of improvements could make that an even more of a neighborhood asset. The plan identified a number of projects that we're continuing to work on with neighborhood partners, focusing both on Cesar Chavez Drive, some public space improvements. One of the ones that I wanted to focus on and give its own slide, because I think it's important when you think about people approaching Mitchell Park, and hopefully, you know, again, this being such an asset, and whatever happens here continue to be such an asset for so long, the image of how do people get here? A lot are coming from the freeway, but a lot are also coming from National Avenue. And one of the things that came out of the Walker Square planning process was the idea that the how you traverse National Avenue, what it looks like, is important. And National Avenue isn't likely to be reconstructed in this stretch in the near future, but one of the recommendations we made that I think is more likely to move forward, the city is actively looking at, is before it gets reconstructed, are there things we can do with paint and lane markings to set the stage to begin to transform what is a very auto-oriented stretch that we continually heard through the planning process as a safety issue. Your question, Supervisor Hobbs.
Yeah. Do you have a timeline for that?
So, again, I want to make really clear where the reconstruction, which is when you actually kind of, you know, tear up the street and repave it, is not in the near future. A potential restriping is a high priority project at the city, and it's something that we're looking to identify funds for. And the language, a lot of our colleagues in public works often use is they paint cheap. So they like it when we come to them with projects that only require paint. So I think, if we haven't identified funding yet, it's a much more manageable project than something that's going to be involved carrying up the road. So we think it's something that we can do, hopefully, in the very near term. But again, we got to still identify funds. And what we hope it would do is set the stage that if people say, yeah, wow, National Avenue feels a lot safer, it looks a lot better, that hopefully 10, 15, or whatever number of years it is that the street actually does get reconstructed, we don't need to have a debate about what it needs to look like. Let's keep moving towards that, towards a more attractive, pedestrian-friendly design that maybe even incorporates more opportunity for green. Walker's Point, I don't need to spend too much time on this because everyone who reads the newspaper or visits Walker's Point knows all the development activity that's happened there. A lot of that caused the city to work with the neighbors to do even an updated area plan just for Walker's Point. We did that 3 years ago. They made recommendations about how to kind of continue the momentum that's already happened there, but also focus on things like equity and retaining economic, socioeconomic integration. Work on, provide new access to public space. It's one of the areas in the city that per capita has the least amount of green space. So that's a project we're continuing to implement. And I want to just touch very briefly on Menominee Valley, the neighbor of Mitchell Park to the north. Most people are aware that back in 1998, the city worked on the first Menominee Valley plan. It's what laid the groundwork for a lot of the great investment that's happened in the valley since. 2 years ago, we adopted a plan that said, you know, a lot of what was recommended in that first valley plan has now been done, but we're not done. The valley's not done. There's still work to do. So what is Menominee Valley 2.0 going to look like? And the city worked with Menominee Valley partners to do a new valley plan that looks charts a vision for the next 20 years. And it talks especially about how to continue to attract jobs to the eastern end of the district that will be accessible to people who live in the neighborhoods that are surrounding Mitchell Park. And I think one of the things that's also most important for the work that you're doing as a committee is, again, when we talk about how do you bring people to Mitchell Park, how do people get here, that plan made a couple specific infrastructure recommendations that we think would connect those neighborhoods in the valley even more so to Mitchell Park. One recommendation, and I'll head off your question by saying this is a very long-term recommendation, is that over time, when work is done on the 27th Street Viaduct, is there a way to connect it down into the valley, which would certainly give people another option to get to Mitchell Park. But the one, the project that I think will move forward on an even shorter timeline is providing a way for people to get to Mitchell Park on foot and by bike. At the Common Council just last week, week, we actually introduced legislation that if it's approved by council, and so far it's gotten very positive reaction from partners in the valley, is that we would actually extend the Menominee Valley, we would actually extend the Milwaukee Riverwalk and overlay district up the Menominee River all the way to 25th Street, which would mean over time, as development happens, and that's the same strategy we use downtown, as we put the legal framework in place to acquire Riverwalk when new projects occur, and we're now advancing that same thing in the valley, so that as redevelopment occurs, people will be required to build out a Riverwalk, with the idea being that eventually you'd be able to get on a Riverwalk from downtown Milwaukee all the way to Three Bridges Park. So those are the types of things that we continue to work on. We recognize the importance of Mitchell Park to the overall, this part of the Near South Side, and we want to continue to make it easier for people to get here. One, this I'll just touch on really briefly, because people often say, what is the city doing to attract bricks and mortar development? A lot of the stuff I talked about is about infrastructure and community development and public space, but we also, one of the strategies we use in a lot of neighborhoods around the city is the charrette process, where the city of Milwaukee partners with our community partners and community design solutions at UWM to look at six or so kind of what we call catalytic sites, sites in the area that are maybe going to be likely to change soon and provide some development opportunities, and we work with the community to envision what might happen there. Mm-hmm. We did that 3 years ago in both Layton Boulevard West and Clark Square, and a lot of those sites happen to be on the National and Pierce Corridor. So I just wanted to show those images really quickly to get a sense of the type of development that we're working every day to try to attract this area. The 3,500 block of West National Avenue was a site that was featured. American Design came up with some concepts. This is one that I think of all the ones I'll show is probably the one that's being most actively worked on, because the city owns a few parcels in there and is working with LBWN to try to bring a vision that looks something like this to fruition, and we think that's something that we know they're working on, and we hope that there's some movement on that soon, and it's something we're closely working with them on. Farther west on National Avenue, Fort Trudeau sketched out a potential reuse of another underutilized property. One of the properties, a former industrial facility on 32nd and Pierce, was in the charrette, and again, talked about reusing it as a multi-use, bringing new types of uses to the Pierce Street corridor, which is something we've seen over time, and our planning efforts say is something we should continue to advocate for and help facilitate. And then farther east on National Avenue, bringing again more mixed and intense uses to the National Avenue corridor. And then finally, there was one site on Greenfield that Enberg Anderson proposed. Townhomes with a futsal court, given that that's something we continue to hear in all of our planning efforts, especially on the south side, is that providing more opportunities for soccer and futsal is something we need to find a way to do. But we know Mitchell Park certainly is full of recreational opportunities. So last thing I'll just mention is that, what is the city doing to move all these things forward beyond the planning work and the neighborhood and community outreach we're doing and the work we do with developers, whatever their zoning changes. We are actively working both in city planning and our commercial corridor team and our Neighborhood Improvement Development Corporation, who implement a lot of our housing rehab programs, to deploy the kind of resources the city has to help these investments happen. Our commercial corridor team provides facade improvement grants, white box grants, the kind of grants that help local businesses open on our traditional commercial corridors. And one of the areas that they've been most successful and most active is this area just south of the park, especially along National Avenue and Chavez Drive. We've helped, I think, 13 businesses in the last few years either open up or improve with city resources. The Neighborhood Improvement Development Corporation operates the Target Investment Neighbor Program, kind of one of our flagship housing rehab programs, where for a three-year period, we invest in certain neighborhoods. And we actually have a Target Investment Neighborhood that's open right now just south of Mitchell Park, the Layton Boulevard West 10, where we work with both Layton Boulevard West and Clark Square to try to deploy housing rehab funds in those areas. The area just south of Mitchell Park has been one of the places in the city that's been most successful with our programs over the past few years, helping more than 200 homeowners fix up their homes. So again, we know that that's just as important as some of the bigger, the bigger splasher projects too, is helping existing homeowners retain and maintain their homes. So that's kind of the suite of things that we're doing. I want to leave this map up again to just give the geographical context, but to, thank you. As planners, we love when people want us to come talk about the plan, so I could have gone on forever, but we were really proud to be invited and certainly open to feedback, because I think what a lot of this is, at least from our understanding, is about setting priorities. And we want to hear from you if there are certain things you saw today that you think need to be more of a priority on our end, especially as it relates to Mitchell Park, or if you think there's things that we missed that you didn't see on these during the presentation today that you think if this giant investment is going to be happening in Mitchell Park, there's other things the city and its partners need to do to really be complementary to that investment and to make sure that we're really leveraging and protecting this asset that is the building.
Thank you, Sam. Very nice presentation. Part of the plans, does that include an economic impact study with that in terms of what is anticipated through these plans that could generate revenues or, you know, do you go into that detail of an economic study? And if so, do your plans show the impacts that the domes have on these neighborhoods in terms of economic impact?
I don't think anyone that I'm aware of has done a study that says, you know, what's the impact of the visitors to the domes coming, or what's the effects of the domes on neighborhood property values. I don't know that something. I'm not aware of an analysis that sophisticated having been done. We do, when we do our planning projects, look at the types of things that are proposed and say, if they were built, what would they likely be assessed at to generate, you know, to assess potential future boosts in the city taxable assessed value. But I don't know that anyone's ever tried to link that to what does or doesn't happen here physically.
Second question,
Sure.
Sam, thank you very much for this presentation. I'm glad to see that it's not just models of what could happen, but the city is actively pursuing stuff in the area here. And I'd say this is planted a seed for me. I'm speaking as county supervisor, so as a member of the county board. Planting a seed for more collaboration between the city and the county. Alderman Bukowski and I have done a lot down in our respective districts with each other, but I'm interested in talking with the guys about helping integrate some of these proposals.
We'd love to have that conversation, and I can also let you know too that you should be safe in the understanding that when we work on projects like this, we often try to work with our counterparts at the county, and they're always incredibly responsive, whether it's at the parks or at, you know, Jim Matthews' team. We have great partnerships across all departments of the county, so we welcome that, and we hope it's already there in place too, but we're always looking at it.
Well, fantastic. I look forward to working with you all once again. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Well, thank you very much for this presentation. It gives us a framework in which to assess our activities and build on activities to make sure that the strengthening of the domes and the conservatory also strengthens the neighborhood and the neighborhood benefits part of this process. So, thank you. As you know, our request for proposals includes encouraging the people who will be working with us to follow up on and do more detailed work respecting the future of the domes and its impact on the community in which it's located. Anything else on this matter planning? This is just the beginning in terms of our discussion. The next item is the request for proposals, staff's report. I think Julie Bastin has been the lead person at the county working on this, and she will update us on the request for proposals. And also we will, in this agenda item, discuss what financial needs we have as a task force together with the county to see that our proposals can actually happen. Julie?
Okay, as you know, at the last meeting we said we received 7 proposals on our RFP for future path and feasibility study for the dome. And our selection committee